Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to read the main motion that Councillor Creed has put on the table, that County Council, having considered the verbal update regarding response to unplanned reduction in shelter services, direct County Council to contact Coburg staff to look at ways to comply with the Town of Coburg's bylaw number 018-2024, being a bylaw to license, regulate, and govern emergency care establishments in the Town of Coburg. Is there a seconder to this, or any kind of friendly amendments that anybody would like to suggest to this motion? And we do have Warden Ostrander, who'd like to speak to this as well.
I'll second it.
Warden Ostrander, thank you for that. I would also like to make a friendly amendment to this, going back to what I had suggested earlier in terms of the thrust of this kind of motion, and to actually put some timelines around it so that we're not in limbo indefinitely. And I'm wondering if both the mover and seconder might be amenable to making such an adjustment. We could do it as a formal primary amendment, or you can change the wording.
I'd agree to that as a friendly amendment.
Okay. And just in terms of a discussion, what timelines would you be comfortable with? I had suggested previously 5 business days, but happy to have your thoughts and input on it.
I'd be happy with 5 days. I was looking at a 2-week thing, but I believe it's more important than that. So 5 business days would be fine.
I see Councillor Ostrander Warden Ostrander has his hand up for that. So we have a mover and seconder with the amendment of on that motion of 5 business days. And yes, we're just going to pull it up on the screen and make sure that you're okay with that. Can you look at what's on your screens?
I'm just wondering, should it be County Council, direct county staff, not County Council? I mean, I'd be happy to go and talk, but I'm not sure that.
Oh, that's a good catch. Now, do we want a request of a meeting within 5 business days, or do we want resolution on those 4 outstanding issues within 5 business days?
I'd like to see a resolution in a week, so.
Yes.
Yes, that's. I've got, did you want to speak to this exact point, or?
I just wanted to speak to getting some clarity for staff within the resolution.
Okay, let me go first then to Councillor Cleveland on this, and then circle back. Councillor Cleveland.
I guess my question is to the mover and the seconder. Considering we have clear direction from the Town of Coburg as to the 2 that were denied and steps to move forward, I'm wondering what is the expected outcome when we already know that moving forward, we simply have to sign the affidavit as per laid out in the bylaw, and how we're going to find a resolution over something that could have already been resolved.
Yes, Councillor Martin.
I think we're seeking a solution, not an opinion. And I so think that this is the resolution that we want. And I think putting trust and in staff on both levels to act in the best interests of both levels of government, and particularly the people that are being thrown out on the street. I think it behooves us to show some support for staff. As members of this council have often said, we should rely on the guidance of our managers and our directors and staff.
Thank you, Councillor Martin.
So here we are.
Thank you, and I think the CAO wants to weigh in on the conversation.
Through you, Deputy Warden, I guess two points is clarity for the steps to be taken if a meeting is declined by town staff. I think the county staff have reached out a number of times, and but we need a dance partner to do the dance. Is there direction to come back with another council meeting on short notice, or what would be the steps if the town doesn't engage with county at a staff level? I think we're certainly happy we've got our questions prepared from their previous request. So what do we do? And my second part is, should there be something in this resolution for interim? And while there might not be support for acquiring more motel rooms, at least for the next couple of weeks or for a short term, we know that the capacity at Transition House is reduced now. It was effective yesterday. And we know that there's others seeking shelter. So, 5 business days will be a long time for those folks. So we've already started some of that in motion, but does council support us going forward with that, at least until we can get through the next steps that we're directed to do?
Thank you, CEO. And I do have a question on that last point before I go to Councillor Cleveland. Do we ever have to give permission to staff in previous situations where you've had to increase the number of hotel or motel rooms that you need to access for those that need shelter or housing in this community? Is there an upper cap that this council has ever set on staff for doing so? I guess the bottom line is, can you just not do that without actually getting our explicit direction over the next number of days to do so, if that's appropriate to meet the needs of the vulnerable?
In this case, we've come to council for direction because of the extent of what we will need to acquire. We obviously have budgets and we have some limited flexibility. If it's a matter of a couple of rooms here or there, yes, staff work within that as part of our normal response that changes depending on the needs of our clients at any given time. But given that we're seeing significant reductions in overall service, colliding with the same timing as demands with the encampment and things like that, that's all falling into the same window. So the cost here will be beyond what we have budgeted. And that's why we're also coming to council to make them aware that if we start doing this, it will take time. And even if we only do this for a short period of time, it still takes time to unwind it. Even once we start down the path of acquiring motel rooms, it's not something that can just we can't turn it on and off. So it's the magnitude of what we will need to acquire and those aggregate costs is really why we're seeking council support. If it were a matter of a couple of rooms, and staff would do that within our own authority.
Councilor Cleveland.
Yeah, I guess I apologize for my confusion. We already have the letter from Coburg that states what we need to do. I'm just not sure why we're not, as a council, directing our staff to agree to those terms so we can get the warming room open.
We have been through this and over this 3 times already today. Which part of that aren't you not hearing?
I'm going to go to Councillor Jibb and then to Councillor Cleveland. Councillor Jibb.
My position is that the motion on the floor is a strong objective. I wish it would work. I hope it works. But we've gone down this road several times without success. For me, I'm glad there's a time limit of 5 days, because that's what we're extending our same situation to, another 5 days from now. The town of Coburg document, the ECE bylaw, provides us one option only: to comply. Some of those conditions that we need to comply with are not favorable from county staff, legality, and from us as council members, legal responsibilities. I am willing to support the motion because it's only 5 days. However, I see us in the necessity of having another emergency council meeting to go in a different action. And that action for me could very well be to comply and bring forward a request to the minister to have the bylaw set aside, I think would maybe be legal terminology. So I can support this, but I can also want it to have another emergency council meeting if need be.
Thank you. And I see the warden's hand is up. And I also wonder, in terms of requesting resolution, whether or not we should be, just as the CAO has pointed out to us, that we need to consider the request for additional financial resources, if it means short-term rooms, whether or not we should also be not just directing for a resolution, but putting some kind of budget limit on what that resolution would take in order to satisfy some of those issues, if they can be satisfied within 5 days. Councillor Cleveland.
We're in this situation because for the last 6 months, we've constantly pushed the decision down the path. And so I'm not sure, again, here we are, since February with this ECE enacted, what's going to change? We've heard that county staff have asked for a meeting. We've heard that Coburg staff don't feel it appropriate, or for whatever reason, they've turned it down. Yet here we are hoping, to use your terms, fellow councillor, that this is going to work now. But again, since February 28th, it hasn't. So again, let's make a decision that we're either going to abide or we're not. And let's move forward with that decision. I'm tired of playing this sort of game that we're playing here, in a sense. It's a horrific situation because the people that need shelter services are not getting those shelter services. And we're looking at staff to find some common ground, but we've heard from staff that they're uncomfortable with the requirements of the ECE bylaw. So why are we sending our staff to go engage in a conversation that they're uncomfortable having?
I'm going to ask the CAO to respond to this, but I just want to make a comment. Councillor Cleveland, we've been told that it's not appropriate for the staff to come to council. We've been talking about the fact that it's appropriate to staff to interface with other staff. We know that we've gone from 20 issues down to 4 issues. We've never had an explicit motion on the table to try to find resolution within 5 days. We've never had that kind of motion come from this table, and we haven't been forced with some of the other options that have been presented to us, nor I presume Coburg staff would know about some of these other options that are being considered and tabled as well. So if we've gone from 20 to 4, maybe there is the option to actually find some resolution, but I still think we need to talk about some dollars around what those resolutions would look like. I'm going to go to the CAO and then back to you, CAO.
Through you, Deputy Warden, I think county staff are very comfortable having the conversation. As I said, we need to make sure that the town staff are able to have that, we are looking for a resolution to make a suggestion that's maybe blending a couple of things that we've talked about. We could look to the province to see if they would participate in some sort of facilitation, or if they would want to participate in a conversation in that kind of capacity, rather than going straight to the minister asking for a regulatory change. A third party that isn't as directly involved could be requested to join us. I'm not sure that we could arrange that within the timelines, but it is something that would be a slightly different twist on this if we're stuck with the county town staff to staff.
Any other comments or questions on that, Councillor Cleveland?
Yeah, thank you. Chair, through you, I find the comments you make troubling. And let me explain which comment. You stated just now that perhaps Coburg staff will reconsider now that they understand the options that this level of government are willing to take. So we're threatening that we're either going to go to the province, we're threatening that we're potentially going to do this or this, so now we're going to Coburg with threats hanging over their heads of the actions we're going to take? Because that's what it seems like.
Councillor Cleveland, I take actually offense to that. Nobody's threatening anybody. It's part of an evolution of a process and a discussion. I'm going to turn it over to the warden and then back to you, warden.
Thank you, Deputy Warden. And through you, I echo your comments just now as well. No one's threatening anybody. We're just trying to find a way through here. Recognizing that hope is not a plan, and I hold out the same hope as Councillor Jibb with regard to being able to come together as county and town staff and find a resolution here. I also wonder, you know, if we end up back here in a week or so having a similar yet somewhat different conversation, if we'll have an answer to the question of insurance and liability. And I'm looking to the CAO to ask the question, answer the question, if it comes down to it, do you need direction from council to seek insurance options to aid with the liability concern that's set out in the EC, the Coburg's East?
Through you, Deputy Warden, we can make those inquiries. I think we've already had some preliminary conversations, and you know, I think we need to be really clear that the movement that's happened to date is the county finding ways to comply with Coburg's bylaw. There has been no change on Coburg's end. It is essentially exactly as was drafted originally. So we've really, to eliminate those 20 or so exemption requests, that is us working with our insurers, that is us looking at everything that we can think of to comply, and we're getting stuck. So we'll follow up with the insurer once again. We've already had some conversations to get the indemnification that was required and make some of the other exemptions go away that were insurance related. But we have not yet been able to come up with this one. So it's kind of in the bucket of we'll ask again.
CAO, I just wanted to clarify, because I thought earlier you had said that you didn't quite ask this question of the insurer because it's a little outside the scope of what is typically covered for insurance. Can you just clarify? Have we got a definite no from them on this request?
We will go back and get an explicit no on exactly this. There's been a lot of conversations to about the insurance topic in general. So we will go back and explicitly get an answer on exactly the one item that remains.
Councillor Cleveland.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to ask, are we aware as a council that Coburg staff do not have the ability to modify and or adjust the bylaw as written by the council that created it and drafted it and voted on it? Coburg staff does not have the operational ability outside of what is written in their bylaw to make exemptions.
Okay, I have the warden with his hand up, unless that's an old hand, warden.
It's not an old hand.
Okay.
I'm just looking to the back to my other question about cots at 3D10. I'm just considering that 5 days is an awful long time. I know it's temperatures the next couple of days are supposed to come up, but they're not going to hang around the 2018 degree level, the 18 to 20 degree level forever. We're approaching November, and I'm just curious if staff can advise how many cots would hold in 310, and if there was an emergency declaration, would we be able to put cots in there? Would there be any roadblocks to that?
So that question is on the table, but in the meantime, Director Mast wanted to respond, and then I can turn it over for an answer on this last question.
Thank you, Deputy Warden, and through you to the council. Sorry, my mic is not close enough. I'm sorry. I just wanted to clarify in terms of what can be done operationally vis-a-vis the bylaw. My understanding of Coburg's ECE bylaw is that council delegated authority in that bylaw to the Director of Legislative Services, member of staff at the town of Coburg, to exempt applicants from the application of any part of that bylaw. So there is, in fact, and that those are the exemptions that we're discussing and the exemption requests that we've made. Relate to those specific exemptions that are within the purview of staff and further within the purview of an administrative hearing officer if a party requests review of the director's decision as the county has.
OK, Okay, Councillor Cleveland, and then we're going to move towards some kind of vote.
Yeah, thank you, because our legal representative outlined it clearly. A individual has been gifted responsibility to make these decisions outside of a political forum. They aren't approached by anyone else on staff. Neither the CAO nor anyone on the political can influence and or direct that individual's decision-making ability. Now, this individual has made the decision to exempt of the four exemptions and agreed to two. And two they have said no to. That's a clear decision of this council now. The decision was to move towards a challenge of those two, which we've now learned is not till November 25th. We have an option to not go that way and simply direct staff to agree to not ask for those exemptions and open 310. That's this county's decision. And here we are again telling staff to go back and to try and convince the independent officer who's already made a decision to alter that decision. What part of not following procedure does this council not understand?
Any other further comments or questions? Director Mass, did you want to respond to that, please?
Thank you, Warden, and through you, I would suggest that there, oh, sorry, I'm doing it. There's nothing in the bylaw specifically that precludes a discussion for the director to take in any advice or discussion or to revise conditions that have been imposed. In terms of the request that was made to discuss and attempt to resolve issues that the town has said they are not amenable to, I would note that it is quite common in any judicial process, be it before a tribunal or the courts, and sometimes, in fact, required by the rules of tribunals and courts, that parties do meet to have discussion to see if they can resolve issues prior to any kind of hearing or review. It was in that context that we made the request and were denied. My reading of the bylaw is that nothing precludes that type of discussion from happening to resolve and move forward together on these sorts of things.
Thank you for that. I think we want an answer about the COTS that the Borden had put forward.
Thank you. Through you, Chair. If the County Council were to opt to declare an emergency, we would not be able to utilize 310 under the Emergency Management and Civil Protection Act, as we're not able to move forward with anything that would be contrary to the law. So we would be obligated to utilize our agreements for the various community centers throughout the county. So I don't have an answer about the COTS. I could say... what was the next question?
The COTS were the question from the warden. I'm going to circle back to Councillor Cleveland and then make a couple comments, then move forward.
Thank you. So based on that answer and based on the previous information provided, I want to be clear that one of the options would then be that's being presented. I don't want to say it's a threat, but that one of the options is that we... take over the community Coburg Center to provide emergency shelter services for an emergency that we've known about for over 7 months. I just want to clarify that that's one of the opportunities that have been presented to this council, that we will take over the Coburg Community Center to provide shelter services there, despite knowing about these regulations and requirements since February. I just want to make sure we're all understanding that that's what we're talking about. Now, I don't want to assume that the intention is to force Coburg into moving towards abandoning their ECE bylaw, but when the options are get the province involved, do nothing, or potentially confiscate the CCC as the only three options being presented by this level of government, some people could deduce that this is being clearly shown that these are the only options. So either back down from your ECE bylaw lower tier, or we're gonna do one of these three things. Now we've given a 5-day time limit. So it's almost like, hey, within the 5 days, you either agree or we're going to move in a different direction. But again, we're not threatening, we're just laying out opportunities?
Well, Councillor Cleveland, I'm going to put this question to staff. How long did it take staff-to-staff meetings to go from 20 exemptions to 4?
There was no staff-to-staff meetings. They were all done on the county's side.
Okay, so we went from 20 to 4. What was the timeline involved in that?
That was over the course of a month or so. Well, actually, we worked, some of those were natural evolution because of the construction. They happened over the original application, and about 5 or 6 weeks later, things had moved forward on the project. So many exemption requests naturally disappeared. We found other ways to creatively comply with the bylaw, and the 4 that are left are what we are left with that we cannot come up with a way to meet the demands of the bylaw. But the other ones are through the work of county staff and the natural evolution of the project.
Follow-up.
I've got Councillor Cleveland, I've got the warden, and then I do have a follow-up to the CAO's comment. So Councillor Cleveland?
I just was going to ask very clearly two quick questions. One, did staff ask to speak to Coburg staff prior to submitting either exemption request, or after the second one was sent back, or was it that staff only asked to meet with Coburg staff after the decision was made?
Through you, Deputy Warden, I'll have to get up the timeline. There has been a lot of communications going back and forth. There has been a number of outreach back and forth and a number of conversations. I think we do somewhere have a list of all of the formal communications that's happened, and we can pull that out. It'll just take a moment to dig that out. I think, Daryl, you had put together a list of communications a few days ago, looking at that exact timeline.
Okay, I'm going to turn it over to the warden, who had his hand up, and then circle back to Councillor Cleveland.
Thank you, Deputy Warden, and through you, I just want to be clear that, you know, if there was a declaration of an emergency to happen and to utilize the lower tier services, that could have happened yesterday. It didn't happen yesterday because I thought it was important, and staff thought it was important to gather everyone around the table and have these conversations. I think it's always better when cooler heads prevail and we find resolution. I'm not sure we're getting there, but hopefully we do at the end of the day. My want is to not utilize the Coburg Community Center if we don't have to, and that's why I ask all of those other questions I was asking to see if we can find alternative solutions to this problem, an emergency that we weren't aware of 7 months ago. I guess we could have predicted it could have happened given the tenuous nature of various relationships, but the fact of the matter is we didn't know about people being turned out of Transition House until about 4 days ago. And that's why we're here today. So hopefully we can find resolution. Hopefully we can find beds for people who need beds and roofs for people who need roofs.
Thank you, Warden. And Councillor Cleveland, do you mind if I just jump in really quickly with a question here to the CAO? What would it cost to comply with the additional 4 issues that are in front of us? Because earlier in the conversation, you had indicated that it's not clear how Coburg would actually apply some of the bylaws in terms of activities outside of 310 Division. But is compliance showing that there is a willingness to put resources into overseeing some of those things, at least for a period of time until we see what is actually happening in and around 310 Division Street? So coming back with a data-driven argument, can we be agreeing to put resources towards that?
Through you, Deputy Warden, we have looked at this in different ways. We have not been able to come up with an exact cost, and this is the challenge in not not having a clear interpretation of the application. So we've been told that, for example, security, that they would expect a response from the shelter if there were complaints about behaviors within the 500 meter radius. So we do have, it appears that they'd be willing to consider an exemption for actively having a patrolling security officer of some sort. And we had some rough estimates on cost for that. But from the response to our exemption request, we are struggling to know what resources would be required. We don't know the number of responses that we would be expected to proactively respond to. We'd have to set up a system for dispatching, hire the staff that could respond, because we could not have shelter workers leaving the shelter to go out on the street. They need to be in the shelter doing their work there. And also when we think about job health and safety, it has to be appropriately trained people to be doing work on the street. We are also unsure of what those individuals, where we would acquire that resource that had those skills and training, because we know they don't have any authority to act as bylaw officers or police officers. So it would simply be going out and having a conversation. We don't know how many conversations would be required. We don't know what we would be hearing from the general public, because the expectation would be a response. So we can't get metrics because we don't know how it would apply.
So I don't think anybody here expects transition house staff to be out patrolling the streets, but I'm asking really concretely, have you put forward to the town of Cobourg a proposal of resources that would be put into actually trying to comply with some of the security and littering issues? Have you said we are willing to put, you know, two people on this, we're willing to put X number of dollars on this for the first 3 months just to see how this is all going to unfold? Have we ever come up with a concrete suggestion of how the county might interpret complying with that? Or are we just saying we don't know the metrics, so we don't know what to propose?
We had, when the CIO and I met, I guess about, would have been about last March or so, or February or March, when we were initially exploring a agreement, looking at some sort of cost sharing or hosting arrangement, that was on the table. We didn't get to numbers, but we talked conceptually about that. When the town decided to move away from an agreement, that was stopped. So we did have some preliminary conversations. Since then, last week when we did reach out for a Without Prejudice call, it was suggested that would be the time when we would look at resources. And since we were told that they would not hold that meeting, we have not moved forward with any type of proposal. I think we need to understand the expectations of the town and what their costs. If we look at other places, there's not many, but where we have had a hosting type of funding agreement, there has been a methodology for that costing that we've worked out with the host municipality for the services to look at what the impacts are. In the other cases, it was meant to be offsetting a payment in lieu because we were not paying property taxes, so that we would do a financial contribution to offset any costs that they were directly incurring as a result of the county service in their municipality. We need information from the town to do that, and they won't engage in a conversation.
Councillor Cleveland.
Thank you. I think that's a good point, but I think we actually have members of Transition House here today who can provide a clear example of how a bylaw can be interpreted. What happened at the Transition House is one of the concerns that were brought up by bylaw, from my understanding, is that there were a bunch of cigarette butts, a pile of them, thousands of them, across the street from Transition House. And so the ask was that Transition House provide receptacles so that these butts can be put somewhere else, of which Transition House went and complied. A classic example of a bylaw having rules and then an operator following those rules. And as we move through this new legislation, because new legislation is created all the time, just like new legislation was created by the province for long-term care homes, we had to modify how we do business at this level of government to meet those standards. Now, a lower tier municipality has altered and changed legislation. Again, We are choosing not to follow that legislation due to concerns from staff. That's not an issue here. The issue is that as a council, we can't keep asking staff to go back and enter into an agreement that they don't feel is an appropriate agreement for this level to enter into.
And just to respond to that just for 1 second, Councillor Cleveland, I think we're at the point now where we're saying we're down to the wire. Have we exhausted all the options of what to put on the table to try to find resolution? And that's why I was asking specifically, have we actually gone forward with talking about the resources that this level of government is willing to put into ensuring that at least two of the exemptions can be complied to? Have we in fact overturned every possibility of finding out what kind of insurance coverage can be realized for the two other exemptions that seem to be a sticking point in terms of risk and liability? I want to make sure that we have exhausted everything in our toolbox before we move into some of these other options. Councillor Jim.
I believe we have a motion that's been moved and seconded on the floor. We've had hours of debate today. I don't believe we're going to accomplish anything more today than what's in front of us for the motion. I would like to call for the vote on the motion.
Councillor Jibb, I'm happy to call for the vote. I just want to make sure that if we are asking staff to reach out to staff of Cobourg to try to find a resolution within five business days, that they have additional tools in the toolbox in terms of council direction, that it would be with willingness for additional resources to come into compliance. Yep, Councillor Jim.
I believe there's an opportunity for a second motion dealing with additional resources outside of the present motion.
Okay. So we have a mover and seconder for the motion on the table. Okay. So we're going to deal with your call to hold a vote, the motion. So you put that forward. Can we get a seconder for that? Okay, the clerk just needs one moment. Okay, Councillor Jibb, just to clarify that should this motion be supported, there is no more discussion or deliberation on the motion. Go ahead.
Does that exclude an opportunity for a subsequent motion on additional funding for interim measures?
And I'm seeing a nod no from just the main motion.
Thank you.
Okay, so a seconder on that call. Yeah, I'm just going to read it. That the County Council call the vote for the agenda item 13.A. We have a mover and seconder on that. And this requires a two-thirds vote to move forward. All in favor? Do we have a seconder? Yes, we had a seconder, Councillor Martin. All in favor? And that is carried. Okay, we're going to have the resolution up on the screen. And again, there is no further debate or discussion on this main motion that we have.
Then I'd like to call a recorded vote, Chair.
Thank you.
Through you, Chair. Please note that a recorded vote was requested by Councillor Cleveland. Councillor Cleveland, we'll start with you.
No.
Councillor Crate?
Yes.
Councillor Jibb?
Yes.
Councillor Local's vote was subtracted since he's absent. Councillor Martin?
Yes.
Warden Ostrander?
Yes.
Deputy Warden Hankivsky?
Yes.
One moment, please.
That motion is carried by a weighted vote of 18. So now we have the